watching online to see what's going on. That's how that works. So anyway, but thank you for joining us this morning, and I look forward to seeing some of you perhaps tonight at 6:30. And turn to the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, if you would. This is another of the appearances that Jesus makes after his resurrection, and he's preparing to ascend to the Father. This Thursday is actually Ascension Day, the day Jesus ascends to heaven. It comes 40 days after Easter Sunday and 10 days before Pentecost Sunday, so it falls on Thursday. We will talk about the Ascension and its importance next Sunday, and then 2 weeks from today is Pentecost Sunday, and we'll be talking more about Pentecost on that day as well. But today I want to focus on what Jesus is telling his disciples at the last verses of Matthew 28. If somebody's getting ready to leave you and you know you're not going to see them again, you want to remember what they're telling you, and so we need to listen to what Jesus has to say. So Matthew records, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" So we get some interesting information in this passage. We don't know which mountain, but Jesus no doubt had some favorite spots, favorite views from the mountains that surround the northern coastline of the Sea of Galilee. It's one of the, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And so I'm just sure that Jesus said, "Go to the mountain." And they went, "Oh, we know which one," because it's that favorite spot that Jesus always wanted to go to. So they knew where he meant for them to go. And notice it speaks of the 11. Judas has hanged himself, so we've got 11 of them. We don't know if only the 11 were there or if some other followers of Jesus also joined them. And then there is this rather intriguing statement that says, "When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted." I have to believe it's a pretty natural response by this point for the followers of Jesus to bow down and worship him. After all, they had been with him, saw him die on the cross, buried, and then 3 days later, they meet him alive and resurrected from the dead. But they'd spent the last 3 years trying to figure out just who he was, and they'd finally decided he's the Messiah, the Christ of God. And then they spent time trying to figure out what that meant for them and for the nation and for the rest of the world and for the Roman Empire and the Romans, the Gentiles that were around them. What does that mean that he's the Messiah? And then suddenly he's crucified, and then he rises from the dead and appears to them several times. And that opens up a whole new realm of wonder and questions and joy and apparently even some doubt. What does it mean that he's resurrected? Some knew without a doubt he's the Son of God and he's worthy and deserving of worship. The word worship means to bow toward or to kiss toward or to prostrate oneself before another. For these disciples, to worship him meant to lay everything they were and everything they had before Jesus and offer to him all glory and all honor. It was their way of saying, "I'm your servant and you are my Lord and my God, and I'll do whatever you ask of me. You died for me. You rose again. You are Lord and God. You've saved me. You've given me life, and I honor you, and I'm yours." That's part of what worship's all about. But some doubted, it says. Doubted what? Did they doubt the resurrection? I mean, he's standing right in front of them. It's pretty hard to doubt your own eyes and ears. Here's a guy talking to you, and you're thinking, "Yeah, I don't know if you're really here or not." So I don't think it's that. Maybe they doubted he was the same Jesus that they had been following. This one seemed to be coming and going differently than the one before. Who is this? Was it some of the 11 that were doubting, or were their other followers, as I suggested? Maybe it was somebody else who was doubting. And exactly what does it mean to doubt? The Greek word that's translated doubt here is only used a couple of times in the New Testament. It comes from the root word for two or twice. And it means to have two minds or to be double-minded. So the essence of doubt is to have a conflict in the mind. And maybe that's what's going on. They saw Jesus, but there's a conflict in their mind about what it all means. or maybe a conflict about whether they can really worship him or not. I mean, because that means to really surrender to what he might ask or might require of them. And some believed and worshiped, and some doubted. Some had a conflict in their mind about all this. And it struck me as I read this passage and studied this week that even among the disciples, there were people in a couple of camps. There were believers and there were doubters. And Jesus would have known and discerned the difference, but you know what? He had grace for all of them. Grace for all of them. And I'm doing a lot of thinking about what's happening in our country right now and the division that I see, and there are multiple opinions about everything, and we aren't going to agree, not even in the church. And as we move toward opening up the church to meet again, there are going to be all kinds of opinions about everything. And if you're on social media, if you're watching on Facebook today, you already know what I'm talking about, with all the different opinions and all the different conspiracy theories that are out there and all that kind of stuff. And as we open the doors for services again, there are going to be strong opinions. And some are going to continue to stay home a little while longer out of caution, and some are for opening everything up, and they just think it's crazy that anybody's staying home. And do we wear masks or we don't wear masks? And do we maintain social distancing, or do we just grab everybody and hug them around the neck and give them a big old wet kiss on the cheek? And some believe one thing and some doubt. And some believe another thing and some doubt. And just like Matthew 28, but what I'm telling you is there is grace for all. And I'm asking, I got amens, real live amens from the 10 folk in here. I'm asking you to love one another and to bring humility to the table and to have grace for one another. And here's the deal. I won't judge you or condemn you for your position or your opinion, and you don't judge me or condemn me for mine, okay? Because here's the deal. If we're going to come to church and then we're going to try to convince one another of the rightness or wrongness of our politics or our position or which conspiracy theory we're going to believe or what this virus, where it came from and all that stuff, or how we're going to respond to it, we've missed the point of why we're going to come together as the church. We're coming together to worship Jesus. I'm coming to celebrate Jesus. I'm coming to join my brothers and sisters and to encourage one another to love Jesus. And if we stay focused on Jesus, we're going to be okay. And so can we agree to do that? And these folk in here are agreeing. I hope you can agree to that too. If you've ever eaten, a show of hands, you that are watching at home, how many of you have ever eaten at Murphy's Steakhouse in Bartlesville? Oh, I got live people in here that have. Well, if you went to Murphy's, yeah, come on, Jeff knows. If you've been to Murphy's, then you had a hot hamburger. I mean, why would you go if you didn't have the hot hamburger? And they ask you, do you want gravy over all? And that's how you want that, all right? It's Texas toast and a big old sirloin patty and French fries, and then you put this delicious brown gravy over all. And some of you are going, I wouldn't eat gravy. People in the cemeteries are full of people that ate gravy. There was a friend that I knew that always said that. Well, listen, their motto is gravy over all. And I'm going to borrow Murphy's steakhouse motto and one slight adjustment. We're going to make it grace over all. And as we open up, we're going to share guidelines here in the next few days or whatever about how we're going to gather. And some of you are going to love them, and some of you are going to think they're too much and over the top, and some of you are going to think they're not enough. Grace over all right? Grace over all with a healthy dose of humility mixed in, because that's who we are as the body of Christ. We're people of his grace, and I believe I can count on you humbly to show grace to one another. So some believed, some doubted, but Jesus was unfazed by the doubts. Instead, he tells them three things that they need to remember, three things that we need to remember as well. Jesus says, there's something I want you to know, there's something I want you to do, and there's somewhere I want you to go. First thing, there's something I want you to know. What is it? He says, first of all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He wants us to know that he's in control. He's Lord over all. His authority is not just a spiritual authority somewhere that's honored in heaven, but he's going to have the last word and the final say on earth as well. It's good news. We talked a few weeks ago about his cosmic lordship and his moral lordship and his absolute lordship over our lives. Well, he is absolute. He has authority and lordship over all. The Apostle Paul says of Jesus that God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms far above above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. It's now and it's forever, and God placed all things under his feet. Jesus has authority over all things, including us, and including the times and the seasons in which we live, in heaven and on earth, spiritual, physical, all of it. So what I'm recommending this morning is that we take a deep breath and relax. We don't have to live in fear, because ultimately he's above all rule and all power and all dominion, and all things will be and are under his feet. He is Lord over all. And based on what he's about to say, then we can say that all authority in heaven and on earth means that he has the authority to change the mission for his disciples and for us. You see, he'd spent 3 years preaching and teaching the Jewish people, and now he changes the assignment and says, and now it's not just going to the Jews around here, but I want you to take this message, this gospel of grace, I want you to take it to the nations, take it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Because he has the authority to call people from all nations to come be his disciples, and he delegates that authority to us to go in his name and call people to come follow Jesus and to be saved. So first, he wants us to know about his authority, and second, he wants us to know about his abiding presence. It means security for us as we go, because he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I got to tell you, if you've been freaked out like everybody has been about all this, there's the first thing you need to remember, something Jesus wants you to know. He's in control, he has authority, and he's going to be with you to the end of the age. What else do we need to know but that? He's with us every minute, in every situation, in every season of our life. Jesus told the disciples earlier that he would send the Holy Spirit. He said, and he'll be with you, and he'll live within you, he'll dwell within you. We have his Holy Spirit abiding with us and leading and directing and comforting and empowering us. We're not alone today. I know we've been socially isolated, but you've not been alone. There may not be anybody else in your house this morning, but you've not been alone, not for one moment. And he wants us to know that he's with us today, and he'll be with us tomorrow and to the end of the age, regardless of what happens or what comes along with the events of today or of the whatever the end of time will be. Jesus will be with us. And it's interesting, Matthew's the one who begins his gospel by telling us that his name would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Matthew ends his gospel by reminding us that Jesus was and is and will always be Emmanuel, God with us. Remember what he wants us to know. He has all authority, and he's always with us. Then the second thing, there's something that I want you to do. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We think of a disciple as someone in relationship to a teacher, a leader of some kind. They're disciples of whoever. Well, they're learning from that person. They've made a decision to follow that person. They're desiring to imitate that person in their life. That's what we're called to be as disciples of Jesus. We're to learn all that he's teaching us. We're to follow him in obedience. Wherever he leads us, whatever he asks of us, that's what we're going to do. And we're supposed to be learning how to live our life like him. That means we value what he values. We treat others as he treats others. We ask and evaluate everything on that basis. What would Jesus do? And he wants us to be his disciples, and then he wants us to go and make more disciples, call others to come be his disciples as well. And the expectation was, he says, therefore, in light of this, in light of what I want you to know about authority and about security, that I'm with you and that I'm in control, I want you to go. His expectation was that we would go, not that we would stay. And he wants us to go and share the good news, the gospel of Jesus and of that saving grace to the whole world. I think what he's saying is, as I said, therefore, in light of the fact I have all authority, I'm delegating that authority to you. Have confidence and then go, and everywhere you go, to everyone, do this. This is how you're going to go. You're going to go and you're going to baptize and you're going to teach. So look at that for a minute. Going. We're supposed to be going. Go where? Go where the fish are. I remember a guy talking about seeing a guy, apparently he'd bought a new rod and reel at like a Bass Pro or somewhere, and he's standing out in the parking lot holding the rod and reel, and a guy walked by and said, are they biting? I'm just waiting on my wife, dude, just waiting on my wife. So he wasn't catching much in the Walmart parking lot or wherever. You need to go where the fish are. If you're a fisherman, Bass Pro Shop's a great place, but they don't let you fish inside. Well, I don't know, maybe they do, but you're going to catch more fish if you get to a lake or a pond instead of in the parking lot, right? And they won't let you fish at the Oklahoma Aquarium either out in Jinx. Go where the fish are. Well, go where people that don't know about Jesus, go where they are and tell them about Jesus. The gospel right now is being preached to more people because of all these online services. Let's keep getting the gospel to people and keep going. And let me just encourage you personally, share the gospel. Share the gospel. If you're a follower of Jesus, light up. If you're on social media, light up Facebook and Twitter and whatever else is out there. Light it up with testimonies of God's grace rather than all the conspiracy theories. Listen, we're children of light and not darkness. Let's go, and as we go, we let our light shine for Jesus. We're to be making disciples of Jesus. That's our number one calling. Listen to me this morning, and hear what I'm telling you. Stay focused on what Jesus told us to do. And remember what he said. Remember our assignment. And don't get sidetracked by all this other stuff. Speak and live in such a way that others clearly see and hear Jesus in you. And call others to come follow Jesus with you. And call them to be disciples of Jesus. Listen, don't get caught up in promoting a bunch of stuff that can't be proven. Well, I heard this. Well, somebody said this. Well, who said it? Well, I don't know, but it kind of defends my side. Don't post that stuff on social media. It's gossip. Really? Because we don't know who said that. Promote Jesus. Testify about Jesus. Well, it could be the truth. Well, you know Jesus is the truth. Post Jesus on there. Talk about stuff that you know to be the truth in your own life, and that's Jesus. God help us if the response of the lost that don't know Jesus at the end of this pandemic, whenever it is, if their response is, man, them Christians are some crazy people with all those theories they were throwing out there. I hope at the end of this, they're going to say, man, those Christians, they are eat up with that Jesus guy, aren't they? All they could talk about and all they could post was Jesus. Oh, Lord, let that be what they say. Let us stay focused on Jesus. So we're supposed to go to every person. And we're supposed to go, then we're supposed to baptize. Not only are we to go and make disciples, to enlist followers of Jesus, to call them to follow him, but we're to see to it that they're baptized. That means, in essence, we see to it that they're connected to the church. Baptism is a public act, a declaration before the world of a commitment to Christ, a public profession of faith in Jesus. Baptism says, I'm a follower of Jesus. Paul says we've been baptized into his death and resurrected into his new life. We're a disciple, one of his, and that's how we're connected to the church through baptism. We belong to him. It unites us with the church, with the body of Christ. So Jesus says, go and proclaim the gospel and make disciples and see to it that they're baptized and connected to the body of Christ, to the church. It was and is important that we recognize the importance and the value of being connected to the church. Go and baptize and teach. This was his instruction. Go make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Connect them to the church and teach them to obey everything I've commanded. Notice we're not to just pick and choose what we're going to teach. We're to teach everything he commanded. We're to be people of the book, right? Right? We're to be people of the book doing what? Teaching and proclaiming and living according to the easy parts, to the parts that really won't require much of us. Teach, you know, we're going to teach people to live according to the parts that accommodate a progressive 2020 mentality and sexuality and all that. According to the parts that fit best with a Western middle class, good old boy attitude and worldview. No, he was pretty clear about this, wasn't he? Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's what he says. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Listen, instruct people in the activities and the disciplines by which a disciple can grow in their relationship with Jesus. Teach them the Word of God. Teach them to pray. Instruct people in the truth of God's Word, how to read it, how to live it, how to engage it. This book is alive, and so live it out, and it'll give light to your path if you'll obey it. It'll keep you from sin and from error and from falling and from a lot of heartbreak and trouble and regret if you'll just obey everything Jesus commanded. Teach them to know Jesus and to love Jesus and to seek after him. There's something he wanted us to know about his authority and his security of his presence with us. There's something he wanted us to do, to go and to baptize and to teach. And finally, Jesus said, there is somewhere I want you to go. There's somewhere I want you to go. And he wants us to go into all the world, to go into all the world, into all nations and make disciples. Oral Roberts, I'm an ORU grad from a couple of times from a long time ago. Oral Roberts told us that he said to go into every man's world, go into every person's world, right? that that's what God's calling us to, and to make disciples. Everyone is called to go. Everyone's called to teach and to make plain the gospel. And there are people in your world and in your sphere of influence that only you can reach with the gospel. Take Jesus to your world and use every means possible. You saw the figures on the screen this morning from Tim and Lindley Hatcher, and that's great news. 1,000 languages have been completed by Wycliffe. So that many languages now have the Word of God, but the challenge is that 2,184 still don't have even a partial piece. Imagine if you didn't have the Bible. If you couldn't read this book in your own language, what if we just had one? What if it was French and somebody said, here, you'll just have to do the best you can. And man, I took French in the fourth grade. All I remember is oui. Au revoir, à bientôt, because they said it at the end of every class. Au revoir, à bientôt. Great, we're out of the basement. Whew. And if I was having to figure out every word to figure this out, what I'm telling you is the status quo of the church won't work. I looked at the world population figures in my life. 1950, 5 years before I was born, the world population was 2.5 billion people. And in 2020, there are 7.5 billion people. The world population has tripled in my lifetime. And it continues to grow. But that means more people on the planet that don't know Jesus and that have never heard. And the church can't afford to just maintain the status quo, just trying to keep our heads above water. I've been interested that churches are hurrying to get back in our buildings, and I understand why. We want to meet together, and he told us to do that. But maybe Jesus allowed some of this to happen to get us out of the building and out into the neighborhood and out into our world once again, to kind of shift our focus a little bit so it's not just inward, but it's outward. Listen, there is somewhere he wants us to go, and I'll tell you, I think there's something he's wanting to say to us, and I'm not sure we've heard it yet. And he's trying to get our attention, and we keep deflecting and turning the message into something else. We keep making it all about us or all about one thing. And listen to what I'm saying, and don't be offended at me. This would be where all the thumbs start coming down on the Facebook. But I'm just going to tell you, this pandemic is not some kind of political wake-up call about American politics. God is trying to speak to the world and to the church worldwide, and we need to keep listening, because I don't think we've heard all he has to say just yet. There's more to come. There's more we need to hear. Please, please, please make this about Jesus. Don't make it about politics. Don't make it about conspiracies. Don't make it about what if this might happen. Make it about Jesus. Point people to Jesus. Talk about Jesus. Lead people to Jesus. Testify that Jesus is the answer. He's the way, and he's the truth, and he's the life, and he's the only hope. Don't waste any time on anything else. Point people to Jesus. Keep pointing them there. If we get sidetracked, we've wasted the opportunity. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Jesus. Jesus says somewhere he wants us to go. So in Acts 1, he said, listen, guys, stay in Jerusalem, be endued with power, and then you're going to go into all the world. And he said, and you'll be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Be witnesses in Jerusalem. That was the place of their biggest failure, where they all ran and hid, ran from Jesus. They'd all fled from Jesus. Go to that place where you messed up and stand up again and say, yeah, we messed it. Man, I messed it up, but I'm back to tell you about Jesus. I was doing the wrong stuff, but I'm back to tell you about Jesus. Proclaim Jesus at home. Proclaim Jesus to the old crowd. Go to Judea, a place that I'm telling you what, the Judean wilderness, it is hot above hot in the summer and cold in the winter. Don't just go to the easy place. Go to the hard places, the remote places, the uncomfortable places, the difficult places. Go to your Judea and tell people about Jesus. Go to Samaria, a place where Jews didn't go, a place where Jews weren't wanted or welcome. Go beyond your comfort zone, beyond your own little crowd and your own people. And then, he says, go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Take Jesus to your world. Go and baptize and connect people to Jesus and to the church, and teach them God's word and teach them how to live for him. Three things we need to remember. There's something Jesus wants us to know, there's something he wants us to do, and there's somewhere that he wants us to go, and it's urgent, it's important. Someone's eternal destiny depends on it. People keep asking, are these the last days? You bet they are. You bet they are. These are the last days. They have been for 2,000 years. They're the last days for people. These were the last days for 80-some thousand people in America that died of COVID-19. They're the last days for somebody that you know that are dying with something. It's the last day. It may be your last day. Yes, these are the last days. Somebody's eternity depends upon us saying yes to Jesus today. Would you listen to him? What's he saying to you? And what's he asking you to do? And where is he asking you to go? Say yes to him today. Say yes to him today. Jesus, I love you today. And we commit ourselves to you. And I want to hear what you have to say. And I want to do what you ask us to do. I want to go where you want us to go, Lord. And I sense your Holy Spirit in this place today. Lord, you're reminding us again of the urgency of the hour. You're reminding us again that, Lord, as much as we want to take it out of your hands, what I hear the Holy Spirit saying today in my own heart and spirit is that the steps of the righteous have been ordered of the Lord. And maybe it's going to be green pastures and still waters. And sometimes, Lord, though, it's through more difficult places. You call us to the hard places. Not everybody's called to the green pastures. Lord, in a spiritual sense, there's always going to be that kind of provision. But others, Lord, found themselves in hard and difficult places. But the call is there. And our response must be yes to you, Lord. Yes to you, Jesus. Yes to whatever you're saying, even if it's not what everybody else is saying. And Lord, I'll say yes to whatever you ask me to do, even if it's to go to the hard places. And I'll go where you ask me to go, Lord. I'll say yes to you, Lord. We surrender our hearts to you today. Obedience to the Lord will always lead you in the right direction. Obedience to the Lord will always lead you in a path of life and a path that's filled with hope, and there'll be sufficient grace for you. And so trust in the Lord and respond to his call. Respond to the urging of his Spirit as you say yes and as you continue to walk in obedience to him. For he will indeed make your path straight. He'll go before you and prepare the way. You can trust him. Rest in him, for he will make your path straight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts of the Spirit that can operate, Lord, that you can speak to us through your word and even by the gifting of the Holy Spirit for heavenly language and for ways to praise you and honor you, Lord. I thank you for your good grace and for your good mercy, Lord. Thank you for your presence that's with us today. There's an old chorus that we used to sing years ago that says, I'll go where you want me to go. Let me slip to the piano and I want us to just make this our prayer today. Let's see if that is on. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord, I'll be what you want me to be. Would you sing that as your prayer of dedication? I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. Say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope that's your prayer today. Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say, even if it's not very popular. You show me, Lord, and that's what I'm going to do. It makes a difference when we say yes to Jesus. And so I trust you'll do that today. I want to thank you for watching. You've heard Pentecostal worship this morning and Pentecostal expressions of worship. and the prayer language that you heard this morning through me, and I think Sarah and others perhaps or whatever, if you have questions about our expressions of faith, if you have questions about the Holy Spirit, there's a little book I wrote years ago called The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit. And you can go to our website, cagtulsa.com, and just write us, send word to us and say, hey, I don't understand all that was going on. I want to know more about that. And I'll see if we can't find an old copy of that book somewhere to send you. We'll send it to you free. Unless 1,000 of you write in, I don't think we've got that many. But anyway, we'll do our best to get that word to you, or we'll link you to somebody that has more answers than me. But we want you to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, and you can trust Him in your life today. Hey, listen, thank you for you that showed up today. Wow, you're live and in person, and nobody got up and walked out during this, and so I feel pretty good about that, at least here. And so the rest of you, I hope you'll enjoy your lunch. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In about 7 minutes, you can watch Carbondale Kids online, so stay tuned for that. And if you come tonight at 6:30, bring a lawn chair, because there's no place to sit. Bring a lawn chair. You can sit in your car. Look forward to seeing you then. And if not, we'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday morning online. And God bless you. Have a great week. We love you. Amen.